Good. Hey, well, good. I'm glad to be here. Glad you guys are here tonight. First couple weeks of school is grace to all the parents with little kids, and we're going to try to keep this timely tonight, I promise you. Well, maybe not. Maybe I get to say it all, and people next week have to do it at 8:30. You're done. Anyhow, hey, well, listen, I know we're finishing it. We just finished a series on presents, right? So Susan Northam runs the bookstore, told me, like, she's had a number of requests that people want the entire collection of talks from the summer. So you're going to be able to purchase that to put them together in a whole package, because she's had a number of people that don't even attend here watching online say, can I get them all? And there's 12 of them, I think, in the pack. Is that right? It's a 12-pack. Carry it with you. Anyhow, so show those available. So if you want to have them, I know a lot of people like them. We had a lot of our staff has been sharing, which is really great, because we've got a bunch of good preachers in the house and they don't get that opportunity. So we're trying to make some more space for that to happen. Does that sound good? Yeah. So tonight we're shifting into prayer. Prayer changes everything. It's going to be our theme. We don't know how long we'll run this, but we'll run until, or, I don't know, maybe forever. Like, really? Really, prayer. Prayer. Because prayer changes everything, right? Don't you love this room? I love being in this place. If you don't know the history of this room, first 3 years we're in here, we did an overflow in here from the sanctuaries down to the youth room, and then the youth set up camp in here every Wednesday night. We had a big parachute set up here, and we had these huge stacks of speakers that just damaged everybody's ears, but it was great because God showed up. Anyhow, anybody remember those days? Everybody understand? We're like, yes, we're right there. Anyhow, really good time. So love all the pastoral team. Some of the stuff you don't know about this pastoral team, the entire team is into prayer, okay? I mean, everybody on the staff, from Charles and Ann, John and Patty, you know, David, Ricardo, Vinny, everyone, man, I'm telling you, the whole team, Rick, the admin team in this house, they're ferocious prayer, prophetic prayer wars. I know you wouldn't know that because they take care of, like, here's your registration, thank you. You get them in a prayer room and they're like, watch out, it's crazy. Our facilities team, our housekeeping team, these guys pray on a regular basis, take shifts during the week. It's crazy to have a team like this. I know the staff's going, yeah, thank you, but I'm serious. I just want to say thank you for this team because they're leaning in. Travis and the children, Ben and Josh, they're just burning it up with Airborne. I mean, they got, like, you can't, it's just a different level. It's gone to a different place. And I love to see Friday night. How many people enjoyed we're out of here Friday night? Wasn't it great? It's just crazy. We think somewhere around 500 to 600 people, and then we had almost 80 to 90, whatever, children and leaders in the children's group. We're like, this is awesome. Like, crazy on a September night where, like, life gets busy. And I thought, God, this is a sign, isn't it? So I love what Patty said, is it a move of holiness? Is it a move of prayer? Who knows? We definitely have entered into a different dimension. How many people have experienced that? So there is, we feel like our, you know, God's got his foot on the gas, not us. We're like, oh, hang on, here we go. Which is a good thing, right? It's a little scary. And I've had a few scary dreams recently, like, we're out of control. Totally had a crazy one the other night. And each of the people in the church were being let down. Like, we were out in this high place in the sky, freaking out. I'm like, we're going to die. You know, do you remember that movie? Anyhow, we're not going to die. All right. Incredibles. Remember the kids are flying down? Anyhow, it's like, no. So anyhow, great time. Joyce Meyer. How many people know who Joyce Meyer is? Joyce Meyer says, praying is simply talking to God like a friend. It should be the easiest thing we do each day. Isn't that good? It's just like talking to a friend. I get people all say, oh, how do you do prayer? You know, because I did not grow up in church and I didn't know. So we need to start the baseline. So tonight, we're just going to give a big overview. Is that all right? Is it okay? Because you just assume people are like at different places. But I remember coming to church and they were all like praying in this different language. I'm like, is this Latin? Like, what's going on here? These people are weirded out. They're all really smart. But they weren't that smart. But I could tell. There's something different. Anyhow, sorry. Not this church. Sorry. It's great. So I want to encourage you tonight, one of the most important things you can do every day in your life is have a quiet time, okay? Is have a devotional time, is have a secret place, a place you get alone with God, okay? I'm just going to push on that pretty hardly, but there's nothing else. And I love what Charles says, whatever we behold, we become, okay? So a lot of people watch sports all day long, and they're just a good fan, all right? Honestly, at the end of the day, they're not the pro athlete, but they're really good fans, all right? But it's like, whatever we behold, we become, right? Man, I'll tell you, Isaiah 55, Charles shared that Sunday. I woke up at a 4:45 Sunday, and I heard those two scriptures, these two I'm going to read, which Charles quoted them Sunday. I'm like, ah! You know how you hear something, and then someone preaches it? You're like, I'm tracking, you know? And you're like, I'm spiritual, right? Anyhow, so Isaiah 55 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. This is what we do in our daily quiet time, don't we? Come on, we seek a mommy baby found. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Come on, every time I get alone with God, I find, like, ah, that's not the way to think. Anybody else like that?
I'm telling you, it used to be my entire quiet time. I just repented, asked forgiveness the whole time. So it's getting less after years. Thank you, Jesus, changing me. But our whole thinking's changed when we get with him, don't we? Come on, Jeremiah 29, 13, 14. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And he said, I would be found by you. I love that word seeker. We don't use that word anymore, seeker. I love, be a seeker. If you could do anything, turn to someone next to you, smack them. I mean, be nice to them. Say, be a seeker. Be a seeker. I don't even say that word anymore. What's that? We had a seeker service. I didn't know what that was when I got saved. Anyhow, so be a seeker. You know what I mean? That's what I love about the crew here. I mean, Charles and Ann and John and Patty, Mercy, we've been together 32 years. That's the best. They challenge me. Just when I'm drifting, like, we're seeking the Lord. I'm like, oh, man. Like, really? Can we just take a break today? Your flesh, okay? The spiritual part. Of course, yes. We're seeking the Lord, right? Anybody else do that? Ah, come on. Stop it, all right? But Jesus told us, he said, seek first the kingdom of God, didn't he? Come on, seek first the kingdom of God. And I love what Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34, it says, blessed is the man who listens to me. Anybody else have listening challenges beside me? Listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. The key word in that scripture I want you to get is daily. Everybody say daily. Daily means what? Every day. That's it. Exactly. It's really simple. We need to keep it simple for our lives. But that's what we're doing, right? Come on. What are we doing? We're watching and waiting. We're looking and listening when we get alone with them. It's the best thing. It's like you go into a different realm, all right? That's what all the guys did in the Bible. You look at Joshua. He did just stayed in the tent and he watched and he waited when everybody else left. You can look at that, Exodus 33, but not tonight. Okay. And then Daniel, if you ever look at Daniel, Daniel actually says looking. He said, I was looking, and the angel showed up and said, I've heard your prayers, baby. I've got you covered. Okay? Just a little delay. You'll get the response. So, isn't that awesome? Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. He said, I was actually looking. So we're looking and we're listening. It's awesome, all right? Good stuff, all right? All throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, all kinds of guys are praying all kinds of prayer. You look at it and you just say, like, wow. But 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, I want men, women, I want people everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands. Jesus tells everyone in Luke chapter 18, it says, and at all times we're to pray and what? Not faint, not lose heart. Come on, did you ever faint? You're drifting in prayer? I get in times like, yeah, I'm here. Seriously, God, help us from drifting. Remember he challenged his disciples? He went to pray and he goes out and they're all sleeping. He's like, come on, guys. Can't you even do an hour with me? Stay the course. You know, he goes back like how many times he goes and finally like, he didn't call them losers. But it's kind of like that attitude, right? Sure, he had to feel like that. But honestly, you look at Jesus' life, he prayed all night. There's scripture that says he prayed all night. He got up before the sun rose. All right, he got up before the sunrise. Did a 6 a.m. prayer in the furnace. There you go. All right, that's a good one. Tuesday morning. And then there's is it the sleepy man or the fiery man? Which is it? Okay, I'm sorry. I got confused a little bit. All right? But it said Jesus would slip away and pray. I'm sorry. But everywhere you look, Jesus modeled prayer for his squad so much that they went to him and said, hey, teach us how to pray. They didn't say teach us how to turn water into wine. They didn't say teach us how to raise the dead. They didn't say teach us how to like use the happy meal and feed thousands of people. They said, no, teach us how to pray. Are you with me? Come on, it's really true. And he tells them in Matthew 6, 6, it's really good. Matthew 6, 6 says, when you pray, he didn't say, if you feel comfortable, if you get a good night's rest, if it's leisure, if you feel it's appropriately or politically correct. No, he says, when you pray. You get that? He says, when you pray, he says, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Isn't that awesome? So let's just take a moment and break this down. He says, go into your room, a private place alone, where no one else is around. It's a secret place, all right? So three key things we're going to do. We're creatures of habit, aren't we? What is it? Three quarters of the population gets into routine and loves it. You change your routine, like, oh, they changed my routine. I can't function, all right? And that's three quarters of the people, so I'm offending a lot of you people here, but that's okay. So number one, set a time to meet with them. Set a time to meet with God. We set up all kinds of times. We set up times to meet people for coffee. We set up times to watch the NFL. Don't bother me. I want to watch the NFL for 3 hours. And now a bunch of people watch the NFL on Sunday, right? Yeah, I know. Eagles fans in here? Yeah, they pulled it out. Anyhow, so, but then the guys on the west side of Pennsylvania, chew, Holy Spirit help them. That was like, did they have like a summer practice ever? Holy, I was like, change the channel. I cannot be depressed now. Right. I was watching U.S. Open anyhow. All right. So number one, set a time to meet with them. We do this and people are like, well, you know, I'll get my time with God. No, set a time. If you got a calendar, if you got a timer, if you got a thing on your phone, put it. Like, I'm going to meet with God at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Do it. I'm telling you, we set all kinds of appointments with people. We don't set time to meet with God. Make it the highest priority in your life. If it's the most life-changing thing we do, why are we so casual about it? Can I challenge you? I know I'm going to be pushing on you a little bit there, right? Next, number two, set a place to meet him. A place that you can speak, you can sing, you can cry, you can whisper without being disturbed. This is a challenge to some people. Years ago, we moved into another house, and we had two children, and we just actually had a third one. Mark was just born, and I remember, like, Marcy, you know, we had a five-year-old, three-year-old, and the next one, I'm like, this disrupted my, like, devotion time. She's like, get over it. Like, I don't even sleep all night. Be quiet. Anyhow, I felt the mercy from Marcy, and she's just like, have a good time. Figure it out. Anyhow, so I went down the basement, and in our basement, we had this little tiny coat closet, and it was literally like a little hobbit closet. You were imperfect. You would just walk in, had lots of headroom. Anyhow, I didn't even mean that. I'm sorry. You're such a good guy. I'm sorry. So, and I literally had to bend over to get in because it was so tiny. Do you remember that? It was like, and we just filled it with coats and all kinds of boxes. And that was my place. I found a place. Because I could pray and I could cry and I could whatever without waking up the kids. Because you got little kids, you're like, don't wake them up, right? Any other parents with young children in the room? You're like, you're speaking my language, all right? But I was just like, no. Anyhow, so, but I was my little hobbit hole, whatever you call it, sorry. So get a place. You can settle in quickly and get focused, okay? So we set a time, we set a place. What do we do, number three? Number three, take this with you. Hello, all right? And take maybe something to write with and a little bit of pen and paper. Why? I mean, and some people take all the devices in your phone. I can't. I got too much ADD. Like, oh, someone emailed me. I'm going to email them back. They text me. Like, I'm going to text them back. It's urgent. No, it isn't. Like, do it isn't. Like, put it aside. If this is your priority, make it a big deal. Are you with me? Come on. So set a time, set a place, take a Bible, take a pen, take something with you you can write with, all right? Are you with me? Okay, then he goes on, he says, when you pray, don't keep babbling like the pagans do, if they think they'll be heard because of many words. Verse 9, he said, this is how you should pray. You guys there? Matthew 6, verse 9? Yeah, I'm back there, right? He says, this is how you should pray. And now he gives them this whole track and a course to run on, all right? He gives them, like, this is kind of a model for you. For your routine people, which is most of the earth, it's 66 words that can be said in 22 seconds. Now, if you're a speed talker like me, you might be able to do an 11 or 12, right? So, and everybody can rehearse it. It's the Lord's Prayer, right? And I'm not mocking it. It's just like we've made it so churchy that people just can quote it and have a clue what they're doing, all right? Which is really awesome. So he starts out with, Our Father. And I just, every time I read it, I hear Sue Roby going, Father, Father, Father. And that Long Island accent just goes right into me and it works. Sorry. It's like, but to me, it's like Sue has so much, it's like Father denotes family, right? He's saying, we're a family. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. Father, thank you. Everything within that word, Father alone, covering, protection, nurture, caregiver, like it's all there, provider, defender. Like this is such a good place to camp, all right? He says, Our Father, Heavenly Father, so good. And he says, hallowed be your name. This is where we just stop and take a moment. Praise be to your name. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's one of my favorite words. It's a word that God gave me at the beginning of 2019. As soon as you open your eyes in the morning, delight yourself. And I think I've told some of you guys that. It's been a challenge to me. Wake up, I'm like, I got all these things to do. No, just delight in me. Delight yourself in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, right? Come on, this is something we can do. And he says, just hang out right there. Hallowed be my name. Rejoice in him, honor him, worship him, bow before him, whatever you want to do there. But you can rehearse who he is. God, thank you, Father. You're my Savior. You really saved me from sin. You're my deliverer. You're my healer. You're my provider. You're my comforter. You're my righteousness. You're one that makes me holy. You're my life. You can just camp out there, okay? Verse 10, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done. This is where we yield to his will, saying, God, your will be done in my life. Now, if you look at this and you study it out for the Bible scholars, it's the tense is this huge declaration. Come, kingdom of God, come. Be done, will of God, be done. It isn't like, I hope your kingdom comes. No, that's not what it is. He said, when you declare it, declare it over your life. Come, kingdom of God, come. It's one of the most repetitious things I've prayed all the time in my life. God, I pray that your kingdom, I say, come, kingdom of God, come into my life. Come to my kids' life. Come to my church. Come to my workplace. Come to my community. Whatever you want to say, will of God be done wherever I go. You declare it over and over. I'm telling you that God answers because we're praying according to this word, and we'll get into that, all right? Pray over your church. Pray over your workplace. It's the most power. It's huge power in those words. God's like breathing on it, okay? All right? Verse 11, he said, give us this day our daily bread. I want to be doing what he has for me on this day. All right? That's why it's a daily thing. And Nicole, he puts it in there. Give us this day our my daily bread. God, I don't want any more than I can handle because I'll get all pride and proudful and arrogant. And I don't want any less. I want to be in step with you in your will. Isn't that good? come on, and I know you'll provide for me everything I've needed this day. So I pray it all the time. Like, God, if I'm running something, I need patience. God, give me patience. If I need endurance, God, I thank you. You'll give me endurance. Whatever it is, he'll be there for you. But it's really great to say these things and declare them over your lives. Amen? It's so powerful, right? Well, I know he's got everything covered for the future. There's a few times I've freaked out with four kids. You're like, oh, we're going to do this. Oh, we're going to pay for college. Oh, we're going to do this. And you freak out. You know, he says, be anxious for nothing. Really? Really? That is hard for me to do. Like the beagle, like, roar! All right? Verse 12, he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I know you guys have heard this, but he says, and forgive us our debts. This is a place where I'm telling you, every time I get in a place of prayer, I'm like, God, forgive me. Reveal to me things that are out of order, things that are unlike you. Ah, and I just begin to recognize that conversation or how I responded to my children or to my spouse or whatever, like, ah, time out. God, forgive me. You know what I mean? Take some time and say, God, forgive me for the things that I have in my heart, right? And the second part of that is, as we forgive our debtors. What do you mean? God, I just want to forgive anybody that got it. I mean, I examine myself. God, is there any ought I have in my heart? You know how you know this? If you see somebody you have an offense with, and you think, I've let them go, and you see them, you go like, oh, there they are again. You get that, just that little snap. Anybody ever done that? Oh, God, I've let them go. Well, obviously you have not. You have an issue, okay? You've got them right in there, and you take them out, beat them up, and put them back in, all right? Anybody do that? I do that. Years ago, in the neighborhood we just moved from, there's a family next to us, and one of our sons became close to one of their sons, and we ended up doing a lot of stuff together. Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. Anyhow, and I just remember we were doing, like, there seemed to be a lot of stuff we were always doing together. And I finally got mad. I'm like, no, we want to just have our family. We always have, like, 15 families we're hanging out with, which is really great. And we were doing youth ministry, so it was like, it was just the way it was. I remember getting so offended at these people, and they were just being normal. Marcy's like, we're just going to hang out. I'm like, she's totally cool with that. But I get so offended, I'm like, get away, get away. I'm just being totally honest with you. You know what I mean? Does anybody ever experience that? They're nothing bad. You just want your space. And I was like, and I don't need a lot of space. I grew up with six kids. We take up a lot of space, right? Okay, but Matthew 18, Peter asked Jesus, how many times do I need to forgive my brother when he sins against me? Seven times? And Jesus just blows it out of the water, like 70 times 7. What he's saying, as many times as you're offended, that's how many times you need to release them. All right? It's unending. But I got a hold of this thing, and I don't know if it was in the 80s, just when I got saved, and this guy went through these five parts, and it wrecked me when I remember seeing our neighbor, Ross, came, and I remember seeing him, and I was like, durr! And I was like, I just remember God's like, you're rehearsing this all the time. So I kept rehearsing this, like, when they spend time together, I'm like, ah! I was just annoyed. And then I would go into this place where you curse them. I don't know what to say. Like, in a battle, like, they're just stupid people. What the hell is that being in our face? And every time we're pulling the drive with these people are here. Did you ever do that? You know what I mean? And you're just a little tiny bit, but it's you're like, nah. And then you, like, nurse it. Like, doesn't God know I need my time? I just need my children to be with me. You know, shut up, all right? But they, so these things, this guy taught this thing. Don't rehearse it. Don't curse it. Don't nurse it. But he said, disperse it. Give it to God. If I got it hot in my heart against, I just go to God. God, you got to do this because I can't. I got to release these people to you or this person to you or wherever I'm offended to you. And what does he do? He reverses. He switches it all up. So you have love and compassion for him. How many people have experienced that? But it's every day. That's the stuff. But the part that I found out was really cool about this, it's when you pray this on a regular basis, I found myself preparing. Like, God, I pray today. People come. I will be offenseless. It says, he who loves thy law cannot be easily offended. I thought, okay. So if that's your word, then I can do this. You didn't do this to frustrate me. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? So you prepare your heart. Someone can scream at you. You're like, we're good. You know what I mean? Scream at you in the highway. Cut you off. Like, that's all right. We need to pray for them. They don't cause anybody to wreck. I'm working on that one, okay? But there's others I have had success. Don't laugh. All right? Skip on down to verse 13. He says, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And Jesus told his disciples to pray that they wouldn't fall into temptation. This is good. This is something all the time you can pray. Like, God, don't just keep me from getting in the ditch on the side of the highway. Keep me on the highway of holiness. Keep me from evil. Keep me from the snare of the enemy. Because the enemy's tricky. He wants to trick you in any way. He gets you stuck in some stupid thing. You know what I mean? Say, God, keep me in this. I pray for divine protection of my heart, my mind, my attitude, my disposition, my interactions, my relationships. Isn't that good? This next part of 13 says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And you just, it's like ending the prayer in praise. Isn't it a good track to run on? It's a real simple track, but I just think, you know, when you finish that part, you're just praying, God, you be exalted in every aspect of my life. I remember throughout the years we did youth ministry, we formed what we called a youth network. And this is the 90s and early 90s, and we were all smart, a bunch of youth pastors. We got together and started praying together once a month. And we said, well, why don't we incorporate it? So we incorporated, and we hired a guy, and it was really good. But the best part about the fruit of it all was we started doing these rallies together. So all the youth ministries we did, the first one we did is Dauphin County Vo-Tech. We had 200 kids there. So it was really good. And they ended up being just like prayer rallies. I know that sounds weird. So, and then we did one at, the First Assembly out in Progress Avenue. Then we did the Christian Missionary Alliance on Progress. And then we did Christ Community. And then we did West Shore E-Free. So we started sharing it and doing it to different churches. And then we started doing them on the steps. We did the one called See on the Steps. Did you guys? Some people remember. Anyhow, but they ended up becoming prayer rallies. But we realized as we got bigger and bigger groups of kids, we had to keep something really simple, a track they could run on. Because you get a couple hundred kids together, they're like, what are we doing? If they don't stay focused. So we created these simple things that you can stay focused, and we just made them up. One was called Acts, and one was adoration, then it went to confession, and it went to thanksgiving and supplication, but it tracked kids. We stayed like, we're going to do 10 minutes on adoration, and adoration, it's like worship and prayer, and then we did confession. We're just going to take some time. God, forgive us, and we get in groups where we're praying for the schools. It was really powerful, and then we got really smart. We said, if we do a really cool marketing, we'll get a lot of kids. We did one called Come to the Party. Now, check this out. This is reaching. This is youth pastors like, hey. So it was praise, and then it was adoration. So praise was different than worship. Adoration was worship. So we did praise, and then we did worship. Real serious worship. Anyhow, so we went from adoration. Then we did repentance. It was really good. Then we did thanksgiving, and we finished with yield. It was like, okay, God, let your will be done. It was the most awesome thing. We did, I don't know if you guys were there, we did a See You on the Island. We had like 3,500 kids. It culminated in, it was 97, 98. Anyway, almost 3,500 kids on City Island, and we broke them all by schools. It was phenomenal. But I remember just keeping these tracks simple, and I thought, God, we need to keep it simple in our own lives, don't we? Keep it simple so it works for us. We meet with God. And why is the track good? Because then I know what I'm going through here. And I know I'm like, I didn't get to that part. I need to pray this. Does it make sense? But it helps us do these things. All right? Now look, there's all kinds of prayers in the Bible. All kinds of prayers. There's prayers of intercession, which you guys know of. Prayers of thanksgiving. So much of this we do in our worship. Prayers of petition, prayers of supplication, prayers of dedication. We have baby dedications. But that's probably one of those weekly prayers I pray. God, I just dedicate. I rededicate my life to you again. I'm such a jerk. I want to follow you, honestly. Anybody else do that? All right. The prayer of agreement is one of the most powerful prayers you can do. What does that mean? Well, he said, wherever two or three of you agree on something. I mean, I'm like, dude, these are powerful prayers. Some of those powerful prayers, Marcy and I, we got together and prayed over our kids together. It was amazing. Like, you could feel the authority. Like, we got this. We know we got this. You know what I mean? The prayer of binding and loosening, the prayer of listening, where you just get before the Lord and you listen. And I'm like, come on, stay with it. Listen, because you drift, right? So listen. And then there's praying in the Spirit. These are all praying in the Spirit is one of the most powerful things you can do. Do you know what I mean by praying in the Spirit? Does most people know what I mean? Like praying in a heavenly language, and you just pray in the Spirit, and things happen when you pray in the Spirit. I think there's lots of stuff we have no idea. We think we know, but it's like an untapped world, all right? But I've talked to so many young people, and there's not so many young people in the last few years, but they get honest and say, what do I pray? What do I pray? And I just remember 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. You guys know this. It said, this is the confidence. Confidence is a great thing to have, right? This is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, what happens? He hears us. Isn't that great? Then it goes on to verse 15. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we've asked from him. Isn't that awesome? This is huge. Huge, huge, huge. So we're praying anything according to his will. And then I get with people like, what's his will? I'm like, what? I'm like, what's his will? I'm like, this is his will, okay? This is the whole will right here, right? Oh, I don't need to do specifically. We'll just start with the written, and then you get the spoken. Honestly, this is his will. I love it. I just think like, what do you mean? I mean, there's almost every chapter in the Bible you can pull it out and you can pray it in different areas of your life. It's amazing. John and I are sitting here today because one person in our family stood on one scripture in the Bible, Acts 16:31. It says, believe and you'll be saved and your whole household be saved. Isn't that awesome? Our older sister got saved first out of six kids, gloriously saved, and just, I remember telling that scripture, I thought, what are you talking about? Stood on the scripture within about 8 years. Everybody got radically saved in their family. And they weren't just like comfy Christians. They were all like, let's burn for Jesus, in a good way. Do you know what I mean? It was intense. So she was a prayer warrior. But it stood on one scripture. I thought, wow, one scripture she stood on and prayed it over. God, I thank you, my whole household's going to be saved. All my siblings. I don't know the time frames and all that, but some of you guys have been contending for years for a whole house. I'm telling you, just keep contending, all right? That's the time frame. That's the mystery. That's the prophetic mystery always. Try to get the timing, right? But there's all kinds of prayers. If you're praying for friends and relatives to get saved, it's scriptural, right? 1 Timothy chapter 2, 4. It's your desire that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. I stand on that when I'm praying for unsaved people. Well, I don't know. He's just too lost. No, he's not. It says in 1 Timothy, his desire is for all men to be saved. So I can pray that over people all the time. Come on, man. I can pray that God removes the blinders that the enemy's put there. And you can just go on and on and on. But it's right there, right? How many people know of Deuteronomy 28? Deuteronomy 28, verses 3 through 14. It's one of the first things. I didn't even know what Deuteronomy was when I got saved. I'm like, what is Deuteronomy? Is that like a disease or something? I'm like, no, it's a book of the Bible. I literally, you don't understand. I was a biblical illiterate. So I got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? Number 5. Right, so Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 3 through 14. And it talks about all the blessings of the Lord. Anybody know this thing? You're blessed when you get up in the morning. You're blessed when you go to bed at night. You're blessed when you put your hand in it. You're blessed in everything you can do. And there's some of those I just lived on. The one that says, whatever you put your hand to will prosper. Man, I've prayed that over my life. I've prayed over my kids' lives like freaky crazy. Do you know what I mean? Like, God, bless, 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 bless. Blessing to be a blessing, all right? You're with me? I just think we still don't know how much God wants to bless us. He's the perfect Father. We go like, well, you don't deserve it. No, but he's my Father, and he loves me. His plans are way better than my plans, all right? Are you there? Come on, so good. Or if you notice, someone needs to be healed. We know that Isaiah 53 talks about by his stripes we're healed. He didn't just take our sins on the cross. He took our sicknesses. So I know it's his desire to be healed. Why isn't everybody healed? I don't know, but I know it's his will. All through the Bible, Jesus said, oh, no, I'm not going to heal you. No, he healed everybody that he came in contact with. Do you know what I mean? It's awesome. So I declare it over people's lives all the time. When you pray for the sick, man, God said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We go for it. You are? Come on, man. It's the word. We're praying the word. Isn't that awesome? I just get there stuck there all the time. But praying life and health and divine health. I love the place we've been praying. I just prayed our whole lives together. Marston and I, 31 years, 31 half years. We just pray, God, we walk in divine health. So we live in a place where we're honestly healthy. Does that make sense? Do we get sick? I'm done. What? I hate it. All right? How many people have kids or teenagers? Come on, let me see your hands. How many people have kids or teenagers? I'm telling you, man, this is probably one of the most passionate things in my life because I did it for so many years. But we have 4 kids, and we just chased it in prayer for our kids. It's probably the most passionate thing that if I drop out for any prayer, I won't miss praying for my kids. I honestly can say I'll probably only miss a few days a year to just pray for every one of my kids. You have to today in today's world. We got 2 kids in New York that go from Brooklyn to Manhattan every day, and the girls. And I'm like, God, you're going to cover them. I thank you for abundance of life in their pathway. There's no danger. Thousands fall to the left, 10,000 to the right. They will be right. God, you'll keep them. I'm not kidding. Like, I chase it. And I'm being funny with it, but you should, anyhow, there's a way to do that, all right? But you pray for kids, man. I mean, Psalm 119, verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Keep it according to the word. Man, I declare that to my kids. God, keep them pure. Keep the purity, purity, purity. Keep my purity bubble. I don't care. You know what I mean? What they're doing, where they're at, all right? Keep them according to your word. I pray they wouldn't fall into the temptation of the enemy, all right? Pray they walk in the spirit and are not led by the lust of their flesh, the lust of their eyes. Pray that stuff over their lives. Contend for their lives, man, because the enemy is, I'm telling you. Do you hear me? All right. I pray my kids hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? Because they'll be filled. All right. I pray they're baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit fresh every day, all the time, man. I love Luke 2:52. You're like, what is that? It says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's probably the biggest thing we've prayed over our kids, right, Mars? Favor, 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 favor. You can't believe it. It's like a daily word in my prayer life. God, favor for my kids. What do you mean? I pray that they're the most favored of everything to get involved in. Well, that's not fair. Too bad. It's in the Bible. I'm praying it. I don't care, honestly. Oh, don't you want to be humble? Yep, but they're going to have favor, okay? I don't care. They're the favorite employee. They're the favorite worker. They're the favorite student. They're the favorite team player. I don't care what it is. Favor, favor, favor. Anybody with me? Come on, man. It's the most powerful thing you can do. We've seen results. Our daughter, our oldest, came home in her sophomore year and said, I'm getting an internship in New York City. And we're like, and I was trying to like, hey, you know, and Marcy's like, just chill. I'm like, good. And I'm saying, Marcy, don't you have to be a junior to get some of these official big internships? It says on their application, don't even talk to us unless you finish your junior year. She comes home, I'm kidding. And she went to a school that like took over the earth. And they really do. They tell the kids like, we rule the world. Anyhow, it's a really great school, but it's real intense. So the second day, she's on spring break, and she came, you know, I came home, and I'm like, so how are you getting? Are you going to take a train in New York? Oh, I'm going to Skype my interviews, Dad. I'm like, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. This is new technology. We don't interview in person. Came home, what, the third day? I got an internship. We're like, what? I get an internship at Oprah Magazine. Yep, I start in June, whatever it was, May something. We're like, what? It was pure favor. Do her a favor. Now, did she do her homework and practice interviewing? Yes. Did she be smart and be intelligent and be sharp as much as she could? She wasn't just like, you know, but she was, I'm just being honest, because sometimes it's Christians who are like, well, I'll just do whatever. No, do your homework. So she was sharp as she could be, but she got an internship and it was total favor. Do you understand that? Anybody else experience that stuff? Come on. It's so good when that happens. Our younger daughter, years ago, it was about 4 years ago, yeah, she auditioned for a summer intensive for a dance school in New York also. And so she auditioned for it, and the school counselor says, oh, great, we want your child. And we're like, great, for the summer. Like, no, we want your child to come here and be at school. We're like, she's not 16. Like, we can't do that. I'm not kidding. We had the conversation. They're like, no, we have a school attached to the school. She can finish all of her online high school, and we want her to be a part of the school. It was total favor, because we asked her about the audition. She's like, I wasn't any better than anybody else, but it was just the favor of God shining on her. Do you see that? Man, pray this stuff. I'm telling you, God is into it. He's like, great, you're believing, let's go. Just breathe the favor onto him. It's so awesome. I love that, man. All right? Come on, you're praying for the church? What do you mean pray for the church? We pray for the church all the time. And I've been here 30-some years. I'm like, God, we pray that we stay the course, right? Come on, we pray this place has fresh bread in this house all the time. There's prophetic revelation. Anytime anybody comes in this place, God, your place fills this presence. Your presence fills this house. This is a house of prayer. We declare it over Life Center all the time. Do you understand that? I pray the leadership stays in unity. Why? Because where there's unity, according to Psalm 133, he commands the blessing. See, I'm leaning on the scriptures. I know that I know that I know. I'm not like out there and like, oh, I don't know what's going on. No, I know this is what he gives me. Do you understand this? It brings such authority. It brings trust. Like, I know these things are true for you, God. We're going to declare it over the house all the time. It's awesome. Then it gets you going. It's hard for me to slow down. Just, okay? So it's a house of prayer, man. Every time we, divine unity is a big deal, all right? The Ephesians prayers. How many people are familiar with the Ephesians prayer? Chapter 1 and chapter 3. If you don't got a man memorized, remember people can say, do you need to read Ephesians 1? I'm like, what's Ephesians? Give me a Bible. Sorry. Ephesians 1, 17 through 19 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, there it is, may give to you a spirit of wisdom. How many people need wisdom? And of revelation in the knowledge of him. Then in verse 18, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so you will know what is the hope of his calling. Isn't that good? Man, I pray that all the time. God, open the eyes of my heart. I don't want to miss it. I just live in the what I can see world, but I want to see and sense what's happening in the spirit. So don't just be an idiot head. You with me? Come on. Ephesians 3, I'm not going to read. Colossians chapter 1, I'm not going to just skip on. But Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, if you're making notes, check that out. Colossians 1, 9 through 11. These are great, great scriptures to pray all the time, all right? Are you with me? Come on, so much happens in prayer when we pray according to his will. We pray according to his will. We know we have the promises, all right? We're changed in prayer. I love what E.M. Bounds. Anybody know who E.M. Bounds is? Big prayer warrior. Prayer makes a godly man and puts within him the mind of Christ. The mind of humility, of self-surrender, of service, of pity, and of prayer. If we really pray, we will become more like God. Isn't that awesome? Or else we will quit praying. That's a crazy statement. That's like, wow. There's a season I get in just read E.M. Bound books all the time. You know, and we were doing the youth ministry, and we just had prayer all the time. We were fasting all the time. And kids go off to college, come back, like, you're doing another fast? I'm like, I don't know. This is what we're supposed to do. Then the youth kept getting smaller. No, I'm just kidding. Kept getting bigger, right? Come on. When we get with him, we pray. We get his perspective. Anybody ever done this? Come on. We get his way of seeing things. Instead of like, I had this revelation one time. I remember quoting, like, God, I thank you that I'm seated together with you at heavenly places. And I literally had, like, a supernatural experience. And I remember I couldn't see him, but I sensed the Lord sitting right beside me. And I remember looking down on the earth. It was totally crazy. And instead of me being in the trenches, because I remember, like, we're going to contend. And I felt like we're always pushing against the atmosphere. But I got this total different perspective. Like, whoa, when I'm in prayer, I'm dropping bombs on the enemy. That air supremacy. That's what I felt like. The words I remember going, like, we rule. Like, this is a different perspective. How many people's perspective you get changed when you get with him and you talk to him? I just read a little bit. I'm like, oh, yeah. It changes your perspective. That awesome? That's why I get alone with him every day, daily, all right? Come on. How many people have gotten direction in prayer? How many people have gotten direction in prayer? We get direction all the time in prayer. We're always praying, like, God, lead us, guide us. You promised to lead us and guide us into all the truth. Show us things to come. I pray that all the time. And he does. He gives us direction. But a year ago, May, we put our house in the market. And we're like, and after a few weeks, Marcy and I, like, I remember waking up, I'm like, Marce, I just know, I feel like God's giving us direction. We're supposed to take care of parents. I do too. I didn't want to say it to you because it's my parents. And we just felt these things. We just stopped, took our house off the market. And we said, let's just pray. Start praying, God, show us how to do this. So the beginning of the year of 2019, we said, okay, let's start moving on this. Her parents are about 80, healthy, holy people. They came to this church in 84, 85 because they wanted more of the Holy Spirit. These are nice people. Anyhow, and they, I went down the other day and I saw your dad and I'm like, what you doing? Oh, I'm going to get my prayer time. I was like, oh, it's so awesome. I'm like, I can live with these people. Sorry. And they have their own stuff. Anyhow, so somebody share the story. So we started praying into it at the beginning of the year and we're just like, God, do this. So the first people went to their house, walked in, said they would buy it. Totally. No realtor involved. We put our house on the market. First person walked in, full cash offer, take it. We found a house, and the people said, you can get in as soon as you want. Less than 4 weeks, we sold two houses, bought a house, three closings, moved totally. It was supernatural, guys. You got to understand this. But why am I saying that? That doesn't mean like, oh, I'm so awesome person, whatever. No, we just get direction in prayer. You get direction when you get alone with him. He'll show you things like, just do this, just do here, even when it doesn't make sense. We had no clue. And this is uncharted because we were like, we're going to buy some land, build a nice little house. She had a dream and the whole thing. We're like, you know, this seems like we're the direction. You know what I mean? You can't always know the exact thing, but you're following his direction. Isn't that awesome? Come on, get direction in prayer. So good. We're strengthened when we pray. Come on, how many people get built up in prayer? Just pray in the Spirit. Isn't it what Jude 20 says? Building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. That means praying in tongues. So just, you don't know what else to do. Just pray in tongues. You're tired praying in tongues. Well, I'm too tired to pray in tongues. You start praying in tongues, just go for a couple minutes, right? You're just rolling. Are you with me? It's so awesome. Our staff prayers are getting to be like that. We're just got little rumbles going on now. Like, yeah. All right. So good. Come on. We're given wisdom in prayer, aren't we? You get alone with God and you pray and he just gives you wisdom. It's who he is. He's the Spirit of wisdom over everything else. We're made clean in prayer, aren't we? He said, you're made clean by the words I've spoken to you. You just start to read this and I feel clean already. You just be like, God, you're washing me with the water of your word. I need the water of the Holy Spirit, but the water of your word just cleanses me. Jesus said, you're clean because the words I've already spoken to you. Isn't that good? All these things happen when you just get alone with them. It's the best. What's our time? Are we okay? Getting close? Okay, I'll wrap it up here. So, if you don't know what else to do, our hearts and minds are renewed in prayer. Do you know that? It's the best. I mean, he says we're transformed by the renewing of mind. When you get in prayer, my mind, it's all kinds of times like, forgive me. This is the best place, all right? And if you don't know what else to do, pray in the Spirit. Because Romans 8 tells us like, you know what else to do? Just pray in tongues and he'll show you. He'll figure it out. So I do that a lot because I'm like, I don't know. I know your will, I know your word, but this situation, like, I'm just going to pray in the Spirit because, right? But your personal prayer life will affect the people around you. Do you know that? Honestly, I mean, when Marcy and I got engaged, she told me the story when she's a little girl getting up for a little drink of water in the middle of the night. She'd get up and see her dad praying on his knees every morning. It was a model for her as a little girl. Isn't that awesome? Did he tell her, you need to pray? No, he just did it. It affected her. Isn't that cool? It challenged me like, I want to make sure I have a prayer life so we have kids. And I'm like, hey, dad's a crazy person. But so when, who was it, Matt was probably 5. I was down in that little tiny closet, middle. All right, I have a closet. So I can't talk to this side. So the little closet, and I was praying, and I came up, and it was a Saturday morning. I just remember clear as day, and came up, and started having breakfast, getting cereal out, you know. And Matt's like, hey, someone came to the door, Dad. And Matt, you understand, Matt gets up at like, I don't know, he just gets up all the time. He's like, gets up 5 o'clock, 5:30, and he had a loud voice. He was like, hey, what are you doing today? And so I would hide, and he would know. So this is the deal. This is what's so funny. Like, Matt, who came to the door? He goes, I don't know. I told him, you're talking to God. He can't come to the door right now. And he closed the door. I'm like, to this day, I don't think we know who was, do we? I'm like, we don't even know who came to the door. I'm like, what'd you tell him? I told him you're talking to God, Dad, and you couldn't come to the door. I'm like, that's crazy, but awesome at the same time. Like, whoever it was, got witness to. Or else they thought the little boy is crazy. Right? It was hilarious. We were just like, all right. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Most of you guys know this. If my people who are called by my name, how many people are called by his name? Come on. Would humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. Then I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. Why am I saying this? Because it takes humility to come before him. The proud in heart don't come and have a daily quiet time because they know it all. Well, I got stuff to do and I'm busy and I know what I'm doing here. I'm telling you, it takes humility saying, why when I do this? Because we're saying, God, you're God and I'm not. You be the leader of my life, not me. You rule. Come on. You know the plans are way better than the plans I try to figure out here. That's what you're doing. You're humbling yourself before him, saying, God, I come and honor you. I worship you. You know what's best for my life. Lead my life. How many people want to do that? Come on. We're launching into this. You can feel this movement on this house about praying. Friday night was crazy. So I feel like this, if we don't get this part right, we miss the big part. Because you want to do the big part, like you said last week. Do you remember? If you remember the speaker we had here last week, wasn't he awesome? He said the small is what causes all the big. Or he said it in so many different ways. I got stuck. But it's like, he's like, you know, people today are like, I just want to be the CEO. No, why don't you just work really hard? Because it's a kingdom principle. If I'm faithful in the small things, he'll make me, give me to a bigger place, all right? It's a kingdom principle. But the world today is like, nope, you just got to get there. Nah, it isn't how it happens. You might get there and you might burn out real quickly. Like flame on and flame off. Like, you know what I mean? We used to call them flavors. Anyhow, so it's like, that doesn't work. In the kingdom, I'm telling you, it's a kingdom principle, all right? So start with the small. Some of you guys sitting here tonight, I'm telling you, you're like, I really want to do this and I've tried it and I fall out. Don't let it just be a desire. But let it become a discipline. Because disciples are disciplined ones, is actually the translation. You guys know that? What does that mean? You're disciplining your time. Okay? Discipline yourself for the purpose of righteousness. That's what the Bible says. The purpose of knowing, coming closer to God. That's the whole purpose, to have a discipline. What does that mean? It's not a hard thing. It's like, God, we can do this. All right? You with me? So get beyond just desiring it and get into discipline so you actually enjoy it. Delight. You there? Come on, we've used this tons for teenagers. I go from desire to discipline to delight. Most people get stuck between desire and discipline. It's like the professional athlete. He's gotten way past discipline where he delights in doing what he does because this is what he does all the time. Is a discipline grueling? Yeah, he pushes himself so when he's on the field or on the court or wherever he's doing in a professional way, he's like, let's go. Does that make sense? But it takes another D word called determination. Do you remember that? Determination. Daniel and all the boys said, we determine in our heart not to let ourselves be polluted by the world system. We are going to do this, okay? Determination. Just say, God, give me determination. I'm telling you, you can do that in your life. Are you there? Because it brings discipline. Don't hang out in that place where I want to do this. Just set that time. Set that place. Make an appointment with God. All right, I watched a person, one of my best friends in college got saved. He was totally a wild guy, like crazy person. He got saved and he started, we went through this, let's set a time. And it changed his life. This guy in 3 months was like a burning evangelist, praying hours a day and selling clothes and jewelry. He was just a cool dude. Anyhow, he's a really cool guy. It's like, but to see a guy's life get transformed like that because he started disciplining himself unto the Lord. I thought, ooh, man, this is powerful, isn't it? So God, we just pray for grace. Come on, let's all stand. It's okay. No new revelation here, just to encourage you. We're just launching this, and the next few weeks, our whole staff's going to roll through here again. Isn't it awesome? I love them all because I know they all have a prayer life. That's the deal. These guys are not just huffing and puffing. They live it. Ah, I love that. They're seekers. Amen. So come on, close your eyes. God, we just pray for grace, 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 grace. Come on. Grace to discipline ourselves. Grace to get in that place where we just, Lord, we just set a time. We meet with you. We be with you, because everything, prayer changes everything. Amen. Prayer changes everything, starting with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, come on, let's take a moment. If you got a partner or somebody beside you, that's fine, just leave there. Let's just pray. You can connect to somebody, just twos around the room. Is that all right? Just pray with somebody around you. Just pray for some kind of, just whatever God leads you to for a moment, whatever burning in your heart, the things that just unleashed over you. Come on. Father. And we thank you that life there's a house of prayer. Make every one of our lives a house of prayer. Come on, a house of prayer. We really pray the price. Come on. Father, I pray for grace in this season for Life Center, God, over the next September, October, November, Father, even into the Christmas season, that God, there be a grace for people to pray that have never got into a groove of praying, not have never got into a routine of praying, don't have a devotional life. God, release grace to have a devotional life, to have a secret place that they meet, God. Man, I just encourage you. A secret place bleeds on into other places. Do you know that? I find myself, my best devotional days, I find myself praying the whole time I'm driving here to the building. The whole time I'm driving to New York to see one of my kids, or driving somewhere on the weirdest places. I know that sounds crazy. I'm running, or I'm jogging, I'm working out, whatever it is, you just find yourself praying all the time. And it spills out over into your life. So God, we pray that it would spill out into everything. So we can pray all at all times we're praying. Not to be weird, but God, we really do this, God. So Lord, I just pray for a just do it tonight, God, in everybody's life. We just do this. We don't hold back. God, I pray remove all the just barriers, barricades, any blockades, or just hold people down. God, I just pray it would be complete freedom for people at Life Center, God. Everyone here tonight would have this freedom to pray all at all times. Come on, in your cubicle next to a coworker, at your desk before you teach a class. Come on. God, we just pray for grace, grace, grace. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, I want to hold you. I know it's 8:45. If you need to get kids and get out of here because it's a school night, that's totally fine. Just have one thing, just a thing that came up in my heart the first service on Sunday about anxiety. I feel like God's settling hearts, releasing people off anxiety, even to the point where you've had anxiety, to the point you need medication, anxiousness, insomnia. I'd love to pray for any of those people tonight because that's just burning in my heart where it's messed you up and you can't even rest at night. I'm telling you, that's not the plan of God. I believe in prophetic dreams and God wakes me up all the time. I get 3 full-length features every night, but that's, you know, I'm sleeping, so. So, right? So if that's for anybody, we're going to pray for you for any reason at all. Don't leave this place if you need prayer. Amen? Come on. Let's lift our hands. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can pray according to your word. We know we have these things if we do it according to your will. So Lord, I thank you. Let your will be done. We say, come. Come, kingdom of life. God, come into our lives. The righteousness, the peace, and joy of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. Thanks. Have a great night.